Defying Gravity. Written and read by Birdie. Fic prompt by Chico1122. Pod prompt by Vontronic. Guy slammed the two small bottles filled with slimy-looking green liquid in front of the two boys. Creaking over the creak in his bones, he explained the explanation. The potion will allow you to see Uther in his spirit form. Once you are in his presence, you must blow. Simultaneous, questioning stares made Gaius continue. The horn! You must blow the horn! It is the only way you can force him to go back to the spirit world. Arthur picked up the bottle closest to him and brought it to his eyes, squinting with an undeniable pout on his face, his bottom lip practically eating the top.
Is it safe?
Gaius looked between the boys and gave his old man, I don't give a flying fuck, shrug. Merlin sighed and brought the bottle to his lips, stopping when he saw Arthur watching his every move.
Why are you staring at my mouth like that?
Arthur cleared his throat uncomfortably and peeked at Gaius with wide eyes.
To see if it's safe? Yeah, to see if the potion is safe.
Good save, Arthur. He has no idea.
Merlin smirked and licked his lips, bringing Arthur's attention back.
So you are going to watch me swallow?
Gaius dropped his head onto the table to hide from the unhideable sexual tension screaming in the subtext.
Precisely.
Arthur bit his lip to prevent that subtext from becoming text and earnestly nodded towards the potion resting on Merlin's bottom lip.
Get on with it!
Merlin pulled apart both petulant lips and popped that pale potion in his puckered pout. Placing his palms atop the table, he tipped it over his tongue without touching. A real frat house feat. Arthur moaned in his mouth.
The alliteration stopping there.
Before catching Gaius, pulling his head from the table so he could slap his forehead with his palm and walk away. That moan muddled out as he quickly swallowed his shot.
Like a hearty pirate.
And gagged.
Not like a hearty pirate.
Can't handle it, Arthur?
Arthur chucked the bottle across the table between his coughs and hit Merlin square in the chest. Merlin did the same to him, which, of course, could only lead to a very tense and suggestive stare-off taking place on either sides of the table as Wild West music played in the background.
Just go.
Gaius sighed from across the room, holding a book at eye level as if that would hide him from the palpable display or stop the odd music from sounding. Out the hall the boys crept, peeking around the edge of the door, Arthur looking over Merlin's head like he was Shaggy and Merlin was Scooby. That would be if Scooby-Doo had yet been invented. But then again, no one questioned the Western music. Arthur shoved Merlin in front of him, tripping over the threshold and sending Merlin jumping right out of his skin.
Roinks! Rear!
He pounced up and back into Arthur's body, Arthur catching him full bridal style while moving the torch away from his legs.
I mean there!
Merlin pointed towards the wall.
Where?
Arthur shouted with an unnatural amount of energy as he quickly looked around them, spinning in a full 360 over and over again. Merlin looked at the wall as Arthur turned them, keeping his eyes on point like a ballerina, before bursting out in a series of chuckles.
Ah, it's just our shadows.
Arthur sighed and dropped Merlin to the floor, being sure to kick him as he stepped over his body, pretending it was because he was dizzy.
He did not stay on point.
Ow!
There were no Scooby snacks for Merlin. Down another hall, Merlin led them until the rattling of a door made them both stop in their tracks. They looked at each other over their shoulders slowly as they quaked in fear. The door rattled again, and Arthur slid back a step, pushing Merlin just in front of him just as...
Arthur! Merlin!
Sir Leon greeted them both with one eyebrow raised as he double-checked the point where Arthur's body touched Merlin's.
It was his butt, in case you were confused.
Leon?
Arthur and Merlin nodded back, Arthur pushing Merlin a step away from him by thrusting forward.
As if that would fix anything.
Leon looked between the two of them, both eyebrows now arching high into his hairline.
Is everything all right, my lord? It's perfectly fine, Arthur coughed as he glanced between Leon, Merlin, and the floor. We are... Merlin, tell Leon what we're doing.
Merlin gaped at Arthur, his eyes searching the wall for an answer and only getting a bit scared when he saw his shadow again.
I'm teaching him some porn. I mean poetry.
Porn poetry? Roses are red. Your balls are blue. Here, let me help you fix that.
Merlin cleared his throat as the not even finished poem ended abruptly in his head.
I'm teaching him some poetry. Poetry.
Arthur nodded enthusiastically, looking over at Merlin.
I love...
He cleared his throat and looked back at Leon, trying to shrug out the rest of the sentence that caught in his throat.
Poetry.
Merlin chuckled uncomfortably at the look of disbelief coming from Leon. And because he saw the double meaning in this narrative, and he felt it was appropriate.
I was just as surprised as you are. He can't get enough of it.
I'll leave you to your... Leon bit down his smile as he looked at Merlin.
Poetry.
As Leon left, Arthur poked Merlin hard in his side.
Poetry. That's the best you could come up with.
What did you want me to say? Merlin asked, also deviating back to canon for a moment.
I don't know. Something that didn't make me sound like a love-struck girl.
You are a love-struck girl.
If anyone is a love-struck girl here, it's you, Merlin.
Me? I'm not love-struck.
But you are a girl.
So pretend to be a man and check the storeroom over there.
By myself? Merlin asked, with sad puppy-dog eyes, but Arthur threatened him with the fire, so he tucked his tail between his legs and turned around.
All right, I'm going.
So the boys separated, Merlin getting himself stuck in the storeroom.
Massive magical magician he is.
And Arthur following his father.
Obviously following the poeticness the screenwriters made by putting Uther in his throne. Hopefully not porn poeticness.
I did not spend my entire life building this kingdom to see my own son destroy it. You are no longer king. I am here. I am king. I am a dragon. Hear me roar!
Uther Pendragon roared like the play on words, and Arthur was sent flying in the angry, invisible ghost waves and lost grip of his horn. He also lost consciousness as his head hit the floor, so Merlin could enter and show off his magic without ruining the plot of the screenwriters,
which didn't need to happen because it would have been cool to see Arthur accepting Merlin's magic over a few episodes and the fun they could have if he wasn't dead and the new adventures they could- This rant has been forcibly stopped due to pure length and deviation from plot narrative.
Step away, Uther!
Merlin yelled from behind, having escaped the frightening pile of boxes and barrels, using levitation spells that, for some reason, did not come to him instantly, as they would in about 30 seconds.
"This is my kingdom,"
Uther shouted back at him.
"Mine, mine, mine, mine! You can't do a thing to stop me, you girlish poetry-reading serving boy!"
Oh, you heard that, did you? Uther shouted again, and a bench came flying across the room, directly toward Merlin. Suddenly, his cloudy mind remembered he had magic again, the levitation spell coming to him much quicker.
"You have magic." "I was born with it!"
Angry, defying,
but somehow sexy.
Tears fell from his face as he glared at the former king. "Merlin," Arthur popped up from behind Uther, rubbing his head because this author is saying "screw you" to the screenwriters.
"Did you know this?"
Uther asked with a thumb pointing in Merlin's direction.
"No." "A sorcerer right under your nose and you couldn't see?" "You appointed him to me!"
A sexy voice interrupted from the hall.
"Did you hear the Western, Sammy?"
"Yes, Dean, but we're here about the ghost." Two hunky men came bounding through the doors. The shorter,
hotter
man with his shirt off held a rifle in his hand. The other man held a bag of salt and also had his shirt off, but the fobby O'Hare was too distracting to notice.
"Whoa!" Arthur shouted at them. "Your fic is coming up later, guys. Get out of here!" "Sorry."
Another hunky man poofed from nowhere directly behind Dean, wearing a messy, sexily askew suit and trench coat.
"I will take care of this."
The trench-coated man grabbed the Fabio by the shoulder, and the hotter one by the waist.
"Because shipping is fun, and I do what I want."
And they all poofed away.
"Yeah, that just happened."
"You're both thick, all right,"
Merlin shouted along from the previous conversation, so the story could move on.
"Hey!"
They both turned and called back at the same time.
"Well, you must die."
Uther shrugged as he raised his hand and pulled a sword from the corner of the room, because where else would a sword be?
"No."
Arthur jumped in front of Merlin and held out his hands as Merlin held up his, ready to throw Uther back. He quickly recoiled and aimed his palms at the floor, sending his power off the stones and sending himself flying up a good 10 feet in the air. Arthur took no notice as he faced Uther with his hands on his hips.
"Out of the way, son, or I shall thrust this sword through you as well." "There shall only be one kind of sword thrusting today, and that is not it. Gwen!"
Arthur called towards the doors where his unconscious wife was found miraculously walking straight past. "Yes, Arthur," she called, popping her head into the room.
"I'm divorcing you."
"All right, Arthur," she called back with cheer in her voice as she turned towards the knight's quarters, pulling down even further on her already distractingly low dress.
"Really? Had no one noticed? It's practically porn. Perhaps someone wrote about it. In poetry form, perhaps? Lancelot?"
"Here I come, boys. I'm officially single. Gwen, we can do that thing with the apple you were talking about." Good job, Arthur.
Uther nodded in agreement, lowering his sword.
No, father. Merlin, get over here.
Merlin groaned from afar as he rolled to his feet and hobbled over to his king, no one having noticed his miraculously non-injuring flying fail.
Father, this is my kingdom now. I can do what I want when I want.
Yeah,
Merlin agreed over his shoulder with enthusiasm, if not making him a bit dizzy with his concussion.
Sorry, did I say non-injuring?
I can make my own rules.
Yeah!
I can make whoever I want a knight.
Yeah!
No matter how pathetic, or scrawny, or weak.
Yeah!
Even Merlin.
You're a knight now, Merlin.
I can make a sorcerer a knight.
I can allow magic.
That!
Yeah!
I can marry who I want.
Yeah!
I can love who I want.
Yeah!
Even clueless poetry-reading girlish boys who lied to me about having magic and recently became a knight in my husband.
Yeah!
Wait! What? You hear that, father? I defy you!
In a graceful jumping pirouette
that made all question his lack of keeping on point before,
Arthur scooped up Merlin's body and dipped him in his arms. Uther dropped the sword and covered his eyes as Arthur started ravishing Merlin's mouth with his own.
Arthur?
Merlin looked around with wide eyes as Arthur let him go, catching Uther curled up in the corner, hearing what sounded suspiciously like sniffling coming from him.
That's right, Merlin. Say my name.
Arthur? Merlin's voice rose in an ear-piercing crescendo as Arthur's hand splayed across his cock. Merlin's eyes turned in a flash of gold, and the entire room seemed to lift off the ground. But really, it was just their bodies in the air. Really, levitation came second nature, and that storeroom was just a fluke.
Barrels could be scary.
Arthur laughed at the ground and squeezed Merlin's cock tighter.
See that, father?
I don't know if I feel comfortable with your father watching you touch me.
Oh, God's right there. Touching me right there.
Merlin moaned as Arthur's hand moved quickly under his trousers and wrapped around his shaft.
Do you want to leave yet, father?
Yeah, daddy, Merlin screamed.
Are you talking to me or him?
Him, of course.
So, no daddy kink?
Daddy kink?
You do have daddy issues, Merlin.
Would you two stop saying daddy?
Uther yelled back up from his huddled corner.
If you don't like it, then leave!
Arthur yelled back to the ground.
To the throne, Merlin. I wish to take you there.
No, not my throne!
Uther screamed, and the throne started to spin around the room.
To the floor, Merlin!
Merlin lowered them down to the floor as Uther started to charge. Just as he was about to reach them with his sword held high, he smacked his face and fell back on the floor, having ran into Merlin's invisible barrier. Uther jumped up and started pounding on the invisible wall.
No! Do not touch him there! You can't tell me what to do!
Arthur screamed as he threw Merlin like a damsel on the ground.
Because he was a clumsy prince who dropped his damsels.
And smoothly ripped off his shirt in all one go, tossing it towards his father. It flew through Merlin's barrier because he was really just that good with magic. Levitation takes a bit. One-way barrier?
Yes, right away, sir.
Sire!
Uther dropped the sword and stumbled away as he tore at the fabric over his eyes, tripping back and falling onto the stone. Merlin brought his bare flesh off the ground and looked around for Arthur, who was already advancing on his father, popping through the one-way barrier.
"Your choice, father. I can either blow the horn or blow Merlin."
"The horn," Uther sobbed as he backed into the corner. "The horn, the horn." Arthur chuckled in triumph as he quickly, almost magically quick, picked up the horn and blew into it.
"I am a dragon," Uther sobbed. "Hear me."
He was cut off as his ghost blew up like a great big navy blue balloon, popping and dissolving into the atmosphere. Arthur chucked the horn directly out the window,
not caring who got their hands on it, apparently,
and strode over to Merlin's barrier bubble facing him. They stood mirroring each other with hands on their hips, Merlin the one now pouting.
"Merlin? It's Sir now? Sir Merlin?" "Yes, Arthur." "To the throne!"
Merlin skipped to the throne, quite literally.
Like the poetry-reading, teaching sorcerer knight husband he was.
And brought it back to the middle of the room.
"Does that mean this is my throne now? You are not king."
"I am too."
"Not until we consummate."
Merlin snapped his fingers, and both were rid of any remaining clothing, and who cares where they ended up?
Though Gaia sure did hit his forehead pretty hard when they ended up on his potion table.
Arthur plunked down into the throne, his little soldier standing at attention as he called his knight over. Merlin closed the gap and puckered up those pouty lips, kissing Arthur until they couldn't kiss any more.
Because that's the usual line for this sort of thing.
"Let's finish defying my father by finishing!"
In seconds, Merlin was ready because he's magic, and lube wasn't really invented yet, and this is parody porn, so... Arthur sat as Merlin sat on him and could miraculously, instantaneously move magically quick. They both groaned and moaned as loud as they could, though not a single person could hear them or would accidentally walk in on them. That would just make things awkward.
"Oh, Daddy,"
Arthur moaned as he grew closer to the finish.
"Are you calling me or your father, Daddy?" "My father is gone."
"Now who has daddy issues?"
All ignored the comments, and Merlin rode Arthur faster until both came, both muttering, "Oh, Daddy," under their breath so the other couldn't hear. Merlin sat up and spun around so he was in Arthur's arms again. He tried to call back their clothes, but unfortunately he didn't think ahead. Gaius had already chucked them into Merlin's room, and for some reason that meant Merlin couldn't call them back. Instead, he called over the curtains hanging from the great stained-glass windows and wrapped them around their bodies as Leon entered the room.
"More poetry, my lord."
Leon smirked as he handed them the clothes he had magically known to bring.
"There is a lot of magic in Camelot."
"It's lords now," Arthur said proudly as he draped the curtain over his body and left the naked Merlin to curl up on the throne.
"Yes, sires,"
Leon said as he walked back to the knight's quarters to find Gawain, who had been missing.
Though there was a trail of apples he had yet to follow.
"Now, Sir Merlin, shall I defy more in my quarters? Let us defy together!"
Plenty of poetry.
Porn poetry.
Was written that night for our two knight pirate.
Pirate? Don't blow holes in my ship. Pirate references were earlier made.
Ghost-busting.
Hunter.
Husband-kings. And they lived happily ever after.
Because...
Screw the screenwriters.
That is the end of this wonderful fic.
If you wanted to leave a comment, or a review, or just a what the fuck, you can do so on either AO3 or fanfiction.net under the story title Defying Gravity, or under my pen name Birdie7272. Stay tuned for bloopers. There's a lot. The bloopers are plenty. They're bloopers. Gag reel. Think I'll try defying gravity. And the screenwriters can't let me down anymore because they already have as much as they can. Try defy. Okay, we're not going to do that. Written and read by Birdie7272. Oh god, that sucks. I can't even start without laughing. Okay. Once you are in his presence... fucking Jesus, I can't talk today. Precisely. Merlin. Ah. Da-na-na-na-na. Wah, wah, wah. That's not going in. I got this, shiznit. Let's go. Where? Arthur shouted with an unnatural amount of energy. That wasn't energetic at all. Pretending it was because... Merlon! No, I do not ship that! The bench came flying across the room directly toward Merlin. That's not what the sentence says. I can read, I promise. And as a bench came flying across the room... That is just not English. I will take care of this. This is my cast voice, apparently. I can't go any lower. I'm Batman. Merlin shouted along, fuck you, that's not even what I'm trying to bloody well say then. I suck at the English language. Ugh. Catching Uther curled up in the corner. Knor-nor. Curl up in your knor-nors when scared. In the knor-nor of the room, Uther was crying like a baby. In the knor-nor. Say my name. I can't really pronounce words, so I'm not gonna try to. Stop saying daddy! Wait, I can't do this. I can't. I hope my neighbors enjoy me. Huddled in the knor-nor. Crying about the gaze. The beautiful gaze of beautiful. Making love in the air. Pirate. Don't blow holes in my ship. Pirate references were earlier made, and I am talking like a southern woman, because I just apparently associate that with pirates. Jesus, fuck. Maybe I should have done it in a British accent the entire time. I could have talked like this. No one would have known, even though it's absolutely terrible. Oh my god, it's horrible. Dun-dun-dun-dun.